Let's take a moment and let's get our hearts ready to hear from the Lord. There you go. Just want to say hello to the folks that are over on this side. I asked Justin to help me put notes up on the board over here so y'all can see those too. All right. Can I ask you guys just to take a moment and just silently just pray for me and then pray for yourself that you'll hear whatever God has for you today. You ready? Let's just pray silently. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here this morning. We want you to have your way. We want you to be the teacher. Pray that our hearts would be soft to hear whatever it is that you have for us this morning. We just turn the wheel over to you, and we thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. What I want to share with you for the next few weeks here, I've titled Desire and Satisfaction in God. There's the shorter Westminster Catechism for kids in Reformed circles talks about why are we here? What is the chief end of man? What is our purpose in life? And the answer to that question is that we're here to glorify God, right? Anybody? So sign off on that. We're here to glorify God. It also says to enjoy Him forever, which is a wonderful thing to learn to do. But there's another famous American pastor, John Piper, who has said that the best way that we can glorify God is by God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. And you know, it's something. I don't know if you've run into people that just seem to be, have so much peace and are just satisfied. In Mexico, one of the things that would happen would be when we'd go to church, we would greet people and say, good morning, you know, and how are you? And they would answer by saying, me siento el consentido de Dios. And that means, I feel like God's spoiled little child this morning. Apple of His eye, you know, just the delight of my Heavenly Father. And that's how I would like to be, because I feel like that's something that this world is desperate for, is someone who is at peace and knows that God's got their back and He's taking care of them, He's carrying them in His arms, and they're His spoiled little child. So I want to take some time to, in these next couple of weeks, just talking about what are the desires of our heart and how can we experience more of just that satisfaction in God, knowing that we are the apple of His eye and that He delights in us. I'm going to start off by showing you a video clip this morning from an older movie called Chocolate. Anybody ever seen the movie Chocolate? Let me fill you in just a little bit. It's a story that takes place in France, in a small village in France. And the character that you're going to see is the mayor of this small village. And he takes his job very seriously. And it's the season of Lent, which we're in the season of Lent right now. And in the Catholic Church, that means you don't eat any meat and you're like fasting and you're denying yourself, you know, to try to focus in on spiritual things. Well, what's happened is there's this single lady that's moved into the town, and she's kind of a free spirit, and she's opened up this chocolate shop, and he's sure that she's just leading everyone in his village down the path to hell, and he's really upset and he's concerned about this, okay? And so as we open up the scene, he's speaking to the priest of the old Catholic church there about his Easter Sunday morning message. And I just want you to watch this, and as you watch it, I want you to be paying attention to the emotions that are going on in this mayor's life, okay? Let me see if I can get this to actually work.
Christ is risen. My friends, let this Easter day be for us too a rebirth. Let us strive
to... No. No, don't bury the word rebirth. Let it ring out. Let this day be for us too a rebirth. You see, we are extolling our parishioners to resurrect their moral awareness. Hmm? Okay, good. Try again.
I think we've gone over this enough. Let's call it a day.
What?
I'm very tired.
Oh, fine. We'll leave it with me. I may have one or two suggestions.
Thank you, Mr.
Not just a couple of suggestions, a revision here and there. I mean, we want it to be perfect tomorrow, don't we? Hmm?
Yes.
Yes.
We must resist. We must resist the shallow, worldly temptations of our mortal... No, we must renounce the shallow, worldly temptations of our mortal flesh. Oh, Caroline.
That's his wife walking into the chocolate shop with this lady.
Oh, my efforts have been for nothing. I've suffered willingly. I've fasted. I've hardly eaten for weeks now. I'm sorry. My suffering is nothing. It's just I feel so lost. I don't know what to do. Tell me what to do.
All right. Um, Can you talk to me a little bit about just about what you're seeing there about the emotion?
Ambivalence.
Yeah.
Pretty high and then low and then high and low.
Right, right.
Human dilemma.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't correct a wrong with mortal wrongs.
Yeah.
Even though it's chocolate. It's depression.
It's depressing.
I think trying to make others do what you haven't really accomplished yet either, but then you have to realize it's all him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The very thing that you think is so is not the thing. It's you've got to give it all.
Yeah.
And he'll do it in his time and in his way.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I found myself sympathetic to this guy. And I don't know about you, but I've had struggles in my life where you could feel your heart begin to race and that desire and then the regret, you know, afterwards. All right. You know how I do this. I make you guys do the work, and I've got the whiteboard up here, and you guys that are sitting on this side are welcome to please come help us out on the whiteboard. But let's take a look at this. It says, take a minute to think of the times in your life when you really, really wanted something. And then I want you to turn to someone close by, please, if you feel comfortable, and share any of those desires that, yeah, you feel comfortable sharing. And then after you've had a couple minutes to kind of talk about that, I would like for us to get about 50 things on this whiteboard out of your experiences of things that you've desired, of things that you've really wanted in your life, and come and write them down on this whiteboard, okay? So turn and talk to somebody, and then there's four markers, so we can have four people at a time up here, but I like to have at least 50 things written down on the board that we can work with. What's that?
I don't know too good on food. I want to just write on that, separate it from family.
Okay. Just start them off. Just put it up there. All right, good. Come grab a thing.
Color's pretty.
Everybody, come on. You can start writing these things up there. Oh. All right, that's good.
Before Keith, no, this wasn't. Better clarify, because other people are going to look at him in judgment.
So is one of the things you want acceptance from others?
Chocolate.
Just keep coming, guys. We got to get 50 of these. It shouldn't be too hard, though. Don't stop now. Keep coming. $1 million. Peace and quiet. A new bike, a dog. I wanted a dog really bad one time. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, there you go. That's a great idea. Efficiency.
Now we're getting somewhere. While they're writing this up, let me just say I read an article that said that was wondering if we all don't struggle with some form of addiction. Everybody wants something. You're doing great. Okay, this will be the last call. I'll give you another 60 seconds. Nobody put coffee up there yet. That's fine. Okay, let me just start reading you some of these, and it's obvious that some people here are more spiritual than others. But I'm just looking at these. Some people wanted a job, children, a home. They've asked for healing, asked for a son. I like this one, a big meal. Somebody wanted mountain land. Someone said how they wanted their daughter to live. I can just imagine that one. Striving for success, wanting reconciliation, wanting a Mazda Miata. I'll confess that was me. Somebody was actually wanting a wrong relationship. Appreciate your honesty with that. A godly spouse. Somebody wants their children living for the Lord. Amen. Their very own home. Somebody wants things with four strings. Somebody wants a child. Man, that's a huge one if you can't have a child. Freedom from depression. Somebody wanted an escape, but it was hoping for a nice guitar. Okay. All right. Great. Now, we could probably keep going on that, but I want to go to the next thing here, which is this question. These desires that we have, Are those desires good or bad? I mean, out of all of our desires, and maybe the answer is like, yes. They can be good. They can be bad. I put a couple of verses up here that are talking about good desires, okay? As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? From Psalms. And another one, O God, you're my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and a weary land where there's no water. So definitely there are good desires. But so desire in itself is not a sin, but it becomes a sin when it becomes an over-desire that controls you instead of you controlling it. In the New Testament, there's a Greek word that comes up 53 times, and that word is epithumia. And it means to over-desire something. When I think of over-desire something, it's not necessarily meaning like we can desire things a lot, but I think what that word means is like when you talk about the epicenter of an earthquake, it's kind of the spot over where the tremor took place. So an over-desire is when that desire takes the priority and tops our desire for God. And it becomes a small g, God, in our life. It becomes an idol in our life. In the New Testament, that's often translated as the word lust. And here's an example where it's translated as lust. Therefore, God gave them up in the epithumias of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and they worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And that's what happens when these desires begin to take the place of God in our life and become functional idols, is that we begin to kind of worship those things instead of worshiping God. And let me see what I have up next here. Come on. Okay. So when we look at those kinds of desires, here's what James has to say about them. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires, your over-desires, these epithumias, that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. So you kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. I found this interesting. In the Buddhist religion, they were looking at this problem of over-desire. And they came up with their idea of how to handle that. And these are called the Four Noble Truths of Buddhism. And their first one is, life is suffering. Well, there's a lot of truth in that, right? I mean, can't we point to scriptures that talk about in this world, right? And then the second noble truth is that the cause of that suffering is our desires, and I would say it's the over-desires, and that seems to be kind of what James is talking about there. But when they get to their third noble truth, I would take issue with them, because what they say is, through diligent practice, we can put an end to desire. And I have a problem with that, because I believe that when God made us, He made us to have desires, right? Because it's His delight to satisfy those desires. If that wasn't true, I wouldn't have anything else to talk about for the next couple of weeks, because I'm talking about satisfaction in God. And you can't be satisfied unless you're hungry for something. And He created us to be hungry for something. And so that's why I think I would take issue with the Buddhists to say that, okay, if you just grit your teeth hard enough and just say no to everything, you can get rid of your problems, but just because you're trying to ignore desire. Yeah.
If your diligent practice is successful, that would give you desire.
Yeah, you desire to be to get rid of desire.
Yeah.
That'd make a whole lot.
That's good.
That'd make a whole lot of sense. Yes.
I think even the second noble truth raises issues to me, because it says the cause of suffering is desire, and I think sometimes that's true, that our suffering is disappointment that we aren't getting the things that we desire. Uh-huh. But some of our suffering is the result of sin that's not even our sin.
Yeah.
So not all, I mean, I do think that desire causes suffering, mm-hmm. but I don't think the cause of all suffering
is
desire.
That's a good point. Their last point is, as we try to walk that path of denial, then we approach this enlightened state of nirvana, and we're free from suffering because we've stopped wanting things. And I don't know how successful they are at that, but it seems like if I was hardwired to want something, I'd be fighting against God to say, I want to stop wanting things. I could hope to stop wanting bad things, but He wants me to want the good things, right? Okay, the next thing I would like to show you, and I don't quite know how to use this whiteboard, and I don't have it up on the screen here, so I'm going to describe this so everybody can hear, but if you wanted to get up and kind of tiptoe around this way, I'm going to draw a picture on this board over here, okay? And it's talking about what happens when our desires become over-desires, and this is just a little tool that I want to leave with you today that will be like a radar for you with the Holy Spirit's help to watch out when you start to slip into this. And it also helps you to, when you see somebody else that's struggling with this, it's a way to talk about what happens when our desires kind of start going south on us. So I'm hoping I can just flip this and y'all can read all these upside down things on that side. All right. So what happens is this right here, we're going to call this desire. Okay? And as we've talked about, desire in itself is not bad, right? They're good desires and they're bad desires. But starting out with a desire, you're all right if you want something, okay? But there's no problem there. But what happens sometimes is that desire can then gradually turn into a demand, okay? And that is when, in your mind and in your heart, you move from, I want this, or I would like this thing, and you move to, I've got to have this thing. And I insist on having this thing. Okay? That's where you begin to cross a line, and you start to get over into what James is talking about there. Now, it's interesting that some of the most subtle ways that I've seen that cross that line is when somebody says, I don't want this for myself. I want this for somebody else. Because it seems like it's unselfish. You know, I really want this for this other person. But when it becomes, I'm demanding this for the other person, then you've crossed a line and you're starting to get over into an over-desire, and you're kind of slipping down this slope into what I could call idolatry. because that's taking the central focus. I'm demanding that I get my way. Also, I've noticed this, like sometimes when I'm in meetings and someone comes in with an opinion that's a strong opinion, and you realize that it's not just an opinion or a proposal or a neutral kind of an idea they're putting out there. They're putting this thing out there and they're saying, this is the way it's got to be. I'm insisting. And they're ready to fight for whatever it is that they've put out there, their proposal. So you start with a desire, that's all right. When it turns into a demand, be careful, because then you're holding on to it and you're insisting, and you've crossed over into pretty much what is obviously is kind of functional idolatry. Okay. All right. So what happens then? Here's stage three. What happens when you're in a situation where you're insisting on whatever it is that you're insisting on, but that other person is not going along with you? They're not giving you what you want. Well, I call this third stage judging. Because if they're not giving you what you want, they are a bad person, right? So then you begin to judge that other person. Marriage counseling. Well, really think about it. This is in marriages, that's where we have our closest relationships. That's where our hearts are most exposed and open. And that is the place where we're most prone to ask for stuff, want stuff, need stuff from our spouse, and if they're not giving it to us, then yeah. I mean, that's kind of funny, but it's not so funny, because this little tool that I'm giving you would be a great thing to have in a marriage, especially if you both knew about it, and you could just kind of gently say, honey, is it possible that maybe you've slid from just wanting something into demanding something? And, I don't want to push this too hard, but maybe the Holy Spirit would speak to you about this. And you could kind of, say, well, maybe I'm getting to the place where I'm just wanting my way so strongly. And so judging is the third thing. And the last thing that happens, if someone has been judged and found guilty, then you find ways to punish them. And just, you think about a relationship, you can think about husband and wife, you can think about ways that you can punish each other and make each other know that you're not happy, right? And again, that goes back to like that verse from James where he talks about, what happens between us when we don't get what we want. There is a very simple remedy to get rid of all conflict, and that is just if everybody would do what I wanted all the time. Right? Oh man, I'm glad that doesn't happen. But yeah. What's that? I wouldn't be happy. That's right. I wouldn't. Okay. Anyway, this little thing, if you get a chance, kind of come over here and I'll leave this up and you want to snap a picture of that on the phone. I've got funny little faces drawn over here beside these four steps of desire, demand, judge, and punish. But this has been very helpful to me since I learned about this. And it particularly when I'm seeing it in myself, right? Because I can deal with me. It's a little harder when it's coming from somebody else that you love and you see them kind of getting over there and getting all worked up. And really, they're over into an area of sin where they've let this desire become an over desire, and it's robbing them of their peace and their joy, right?
I've seen that a lot politically. I know we don't like to say a word.
Yeah.
Church, but
oh, yeah.
But, you know, this is such a good illustration. And it's where the world is right now.
Yeah. So much so. Judging other people, condemning them, yes, wanting to punish them. Yeah. And it's... Okay. Now, let me ask you this. I want you to think just a little bit here about, let's get a practical application. And notice that I've put the words some people. It's kind of like when somebody comes up to me and says, I have a friend that's kind of having this thing, you know, and you're going, yeah, right. But anyway, we're going to talk about some people. I'd love to get some feedback from you. Let's think of some real life kind of situations. And I don't want to go with like the big ones where everybody knows, like heroin addicts, right? They're struggling with over desire or whatever, you know, the drug is or alcohol. No, I would much rather get real and talk about the people that are in this room right now who are Christians. Are we exempt from over desire? No, we're not. So what do Christians struggle with sometimes that could get to the place where they are, where we're demanding stuff and judging people? Yeah.
Well, we're having a cookout after church, and I thought the grill should be out and ready with the charcoal already before we left for Sunday school. Yeah. I thought that was a good idea.
So that's not a bad idea, right? But what happens if that gets to the place where you're insisting and pushing on that? Anybody ever really need their coffee pretty bad?
Yes.
Sorry. Yeah.
I just wanted to take a family picture where everybody is looking at the camera. I don't even care if they're smiling. I want them looking right, that everyone can notice that they're smiling.
Wow, the angels are talking, Mary. Yes. Just wanted everybody to look at the camera. Come up with some more, yeah.
So, like she said about the cookout, okay? But if you're not the one that's going to be using the charcoal grill, you have an expectation that the way you would fix it, the way you would, how hard it is, and this and that. If Ed's the one that's fixing it, it might not be any problem for him. He already knows how he's going to throw the charcoal out there and light it, and it'll be ready just right then.
Uh-huh.
So sometimes we don't know what we want. It's like the biggest thing about desire is we, most of the time, for a lot of things, we don't know what we really want.
Yeah.
Enemy, the devil, he tricks us. He gives us these expectations. It's like a lot of people, we want this great big house.
Yeah.
And so we got a 5,000 square foot house. Well, that's good. You can get it, and then you get in it. Well, then you got to clean it. Pay that electric.
Let me pass this along to these guys. What he's talking about is our expectations. we can have expectations where we get all this stuff in our head about what we really are seeing is going to happen and imagining in our mind. And that can become like an idol for us. That can become something that we're insisting on. And it could be that God has something better for us or different for us. Yes.
Uh-huh. Everyday living and the finite time that you have. And
yeah. Yeah, just talking about like when you're in a marriage and there's all these things that have to be done and you're looking at your spouse and just wishing that they would do parts of that and that when that doesn't happen, then that becomes a disappointment or you get frustrated. Uh-huh.
That goes both ways.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, for anybody. Something else that you really wanted? We have any introverts in the house today? Yeah, what do introverts want? What was that?
To be left alone.
To just be left alone.
In your brain.
Yeah. How about just some me time can become like, I gotta have it. Young people today spend an awful lot of time, right? In fact, and old people. I mean, can we get to the place where this becomes something we just gotta check on and look at and see? Yes. Right. Yep. Yes. Delight yourself in the Lord, He shall give you the desires of your heart. And so there are good desires, and He put those there, and He wants to satisfy those. Right? Okay. Let me just kind of wind up here. Just if you struggle with over desires, let me just say you got a lot of good company. Remember old Samson? He had an eye for Delilah, right? It was an over-desire. David, he struggled with those desires, right? Bathsheba. That prodigal son, you know? He thought he had it all figured out and he knew what he wanted. I don't know if you remember the story of Jacob's wife, Rachel, and she was barren, and how badly she wished that she had, you know, could have children. So we get a lot of good company for over desires. But I think, let me back up one here. Oh, it's just going forward. It's not going backwards. Okay. Well, let me just end up with this. Instead of saying, in what ways do some people deal with over desires? Let's just go ahead and bring it home. And let's just ask the Holy Spirit to help us to think about what are the ways that I may be tempted to over desire something and to insist that I get that. And then there's a way to deal with that, okay? Psalm 32:3 says, when I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. Or skip a verse. It says, I acknowledge my sin to you and my iniquity. I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave me the guilt of my sin. This one up here. Proverbs 28:13, he who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. And so I would just say this morning to us that if the Holy Spirit is kind of speaking to your heart about a tendency maybe that you've had to slip from wanting something into insisting on it and then judging other people and then wanting to punish them. If we've struggled with over-desire and we've turned things into idols that shouldn't be, then the best thing to do is bring that to the light and just confess that to God. Ask for His forgiveness and others. And then He will help us. He will help us. He'll forgive us. And He will help us because He's put those good desires in our heart. And so I kind of decided we'd get this out of the way the first Sunday. And then the other Sundays we're going to be talking about just satisfaction, about how to find that our loving Heavenly Father just wants us to know that we are the delight of His eyes and that He is there to fill that those empty, dry places in our lives to the place where it splashes out on other people and impacts them. Let's pray. We thank You, Lord. Thank You this morning that You're here with us and helping us to take a realistic look at some of the things that go on in our hearts. And we thank You that You've made us with desire. And we want those desires to be good desires so that You can satisfy those. Holy Spirit, we ask You to help us to be a little more sensitive. Give us discernment. Help us to see the places where we're stepping across the line and over-desiring or putting things before You and hurting other people in the process. You be the Lord of our life this week. And we want to see You glorified in our lives by our being satisfied in the good things that You have for us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everybody. Be ready. I'm not sure if we meet on Easter Sunday for Sunday school yet, but if we do, be ready. We don't. Okay, then we're going to skip a week, and then we'll be here after Easter. God bless you.